On this Friday episode of Hardwood Handicappers, we're diving into some of the off-season news that we've been hit with over the last couple of days. We're also taking a look at the NBA draft. It is right around the corner. The 2026 NBA draft is on Tuesday. I added one play yesterday in the morning, so we're going to talk about all of that on this episode. Make sure you listen.
Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're going to start with the off-season housekeeping portion of all of this. A lot has happened since I last talked to you on Monday. Actually, right after we recorded the show, we got news that the Chicago Bulls hired Tiago Splitter away from the Portland Trailblazers, and wasn't able to talk about that right away. Do quickly want to say I really like the move for Chicago. I thought that Splitter did a really good job of keeping the Blazers focused after what happened with Chauncey Billups. And I do think that the Blazers made a major mistake in letting him walk out the door. It sounds like that owner, you know, owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, has a way of doing things. And he is very intent on not paying his head coach anything close to a league average salary. So Splitter was in a really weird situation where if he wanted to continue coaching that team, he would have had to take way, way less than market value. And he ended up in a situation that I think is going to be really good for him in Chicago, where young rebuilding team needs a voice like him that is young as well, but also now has the experience that you need to go out and be a head coach in the NBA. And I think Splitter does a few things well. I think that he's a really good defensive coach. I think we saw that with Portland playing like one of the best defensive teams in the league at times throughout the second half of the season. And offensively, a lot of motion, a lot of guys touching the ball, and a lot of like European concepts mixed in there, which I really like. This is a guy that has won pretty much at every level of his career, whether that's as a player or as a coach, and really thought he did a great job in Portland last year. So I think Chicago's got to be really excited to be bringing in a coach like that. Another big piece of news that we got kind of yesterday, Trae Young opted out of his player option, or will be opting out of his player option. And I think a lot of people thought that meant that he would not be returning to the Washington Wizards. That's not the case. The reality is that he's really just trying to go back to the Wizards on a three-year deal that will pay him similar money. And it does sound like, I don't know, my theory is that Jalen Brunson, being the engine of a championship-winning team with the Knicks, kind of has teams back interested in smaller guards again. Not small, you don't want to have that, but I feel like teams are talking themselves into, all right, it's not them, it's us. We have to find a way to win around them. And I do kind of feel like Young's market maybe heated back up a little bit. I think you're starting to hear a little bit more talk about like Ja Morant. And I think that Darius Acuff Jr., one of the draft prospects, has been aided by the same thing. So I wonder if there's actually any truth to that. But the Knicks did win a title with a very small guard, one that has always been picked on defensively. And they put a really good team around him. They found a way to win, and they did it in kind of historic fashion. So I feel like these teams are all now interested in seeing if they could do the same thing. And Young back to Washington, that excites me. I've talked about this Wizards team a few times, but not only do they have the number one pick in this draft, but there's a lot of returning talent between, you know, Alex Sarr, Keyshawn George, Will Riley, Anthony Davis, if he ever plays. Like, this is a team that is really, really talented. And I kind of think that you have a really interesting mix of guys around Trae Young in DC. So I'm happy that he's not just kind of turning down that option and looking to bail. I like that he's going back to that team, and we're going to see what they can do this, you know, this season. I think that we've seen kind of the championship odds for next year, and Washington's way at the bottom. And look, I don't think this team's going to win the title next year, but seeing them in that 150 to 200 to 1 range to win the title makes me believe we're going to get a really good price on them to make the postseason, possibly even plus money odds. And I think they are a postseason team. Like, I don't think it's questionable. I feel like if you have those two guys on the roster to start the season, the two guys being Trae Young and Anthony Davis, I go into the year believing that they're a playoff team, even, you know, kind of expecting AD to miss 30 to 35 games. I would still kind of expect them to find a way into the postseason. I just feel like the whole thing is going to be changed now that you're bringing in those two kind of veterans and the number one pick. Just major infusion of talent, kind of an infusion of experience. And yeah, Trae Young and AD, two guys that have been there, have made deep playoff runs. In AD's case, he has won a title. So really like that he's going back to Washington. I was a little bit nervous for those Wizards fans and whatever that he might just be bailing after really barely having played for them. So that's the Trae Young news. We did get some LeBron news. It's nothing confirmed yet, but Brian Windhorst, who obviously has done a really good job of following LeBron James throughout his career, he said that the plan is for LeBron to play next season. And if he does, the plan is that he's going to be playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, there are other reports out there about what the money's going to look like. Depending on who you believe, it sounds like they're not going to be offering him a max contract. A week or two ago, Rich Paul, I believe, said that he's not interested in LeBron playing for less than a max. But, man, I don't know how it's going to go with the money. I still think that there are more interesting options for LeBron to end his career. But if he wants to stay in LA and finish his career there, he's earned the right to do that. I just kind of want to see the page turn to what the Lakers are going to look like with Luka Doncic as the unquestioned face of the franchise and what you can do with the LeBron money to build around him. Like, I think a lot of people are looking forward to that because as of right now, you're just kind of wasting some of these Luka Doncic prime years. So unless LeBron is signing back on like a really team friendly deal, you are almost punting on the season. Like, sure, you might go to the first round. You might find a way to win your first round matchup, but I don't see you doing much outside of that if you have LeBron making 40 to 50 million at this stage in his career. So that's where I'm at with that. It's whatever. Like, LeBron being back in the league is good for the league, but don't think it's good for the Lakers. There is something else though with that, and it's that Kevin Love appears to be looking to join LeBron and head back to Los Angeles. And when I say head back to Los Angeles, I mean, you know, back to where he played college ball for UCLA. And look, that's not going to change anything for the Lakers, really. It's a veteran presence. It's a locker room presence. Maybe he gives you some minutes as a stretch five here and there, but I don't think he's going to be helping you very much. It's just probably a move to kind of please LeBron. And honestly, like, veterans minimum signings usually are not that impactful. So, you know, bring in a guy that has a really good reputation around the league, a lot of people like around the league. It's a good guy to add to the locker room. So no problem with that if it is for the veterans minimum. The last thing I'll kind of say here, we have a lot to get to over the next week or so. Like, there's going to be news flying in left and right. Like, I was just reading a piece on The Athletic, with some major rumors for the offseason, but like, they all seem so far away. Like, the Giannis trade, we've been talking about it a little bit too much for there to not actually be action on it. There's some stuff about like the Warriors potentially being interested in Kawhi Leonard. Don't know how that happens. There's all types of news out there, but there's not a lot to talk about. So we're going to get to that stuff next week when it really starts piling in. And maybe it happens over this weekend and we can talk about it on Monday because we are going to do a Monday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. But as of right now, there's not much. So the last thing I did want to say, James Dolan, owner of the Knicks, one of the reasons I'm not a Knicks fan anymore, went on, radio, I believe it was yesterday or it was 2 days ago, and said he is not willing to pay the luxury tax for being a second apron team. And that is really, really big as you're talking about a New York team that is suddenly entering next season as a defending champs, looking to find a way to defend that title. And if you kind of think about what that means as they look towards this offseason, they're really close to the second apron right now. And they have two guys that they're going to need to bring back if they want to have the entire championship roster back. It's Mitchell Robinson, who, is an important bench player for them, and Landry Shamet, also known as 44, who had a really, really good playoffs for this team. Like, was not missing threes, provided them with some good defense. It kind of went away towards the end of the playoffs, but for most of it, he was a sniper for them and he was a good role player. So those are two guys that, like, if this team's going to get below the second apron, I can't imagine them being back. So that's really big as you talk about the Eastern Conference and as you talk about the entire NBA next season, that Dolan, for whatever reason, not willing to reach to the pockets and pay for the team that just won him the fans in New York for like the first time in his career and won him a title. So would be really surprised if they bring those two guys back. As far as like replacements go, you are seeing the Knicks linked to some of like the upperclassmen bigs in the 2026 NBA draft. So I've seen them, like, I've seen like 15 mocks at this point. I feel like 14 of them have the Knicks taking Tyrus Reed from UConn, the big energy big, can score around the basket, can be an absolute menace on the glass. Decent shot blocker. Like, I feel like a lot of people are kind of linking him to the Knicks as the Robinson replacement, but that is not going to be an easy replacement for a rookie to come in and, you know, be responsible for. So yeah, it's kind of a bummer in a way. Like, I don't really care if the Knicks win. I don't want them to win, but I do like the idea of teams going into the next season with the roster that won them the title. So the fact that we're already kind of talking about the Knicks not being able to at 100% defend that title, a little bit of a bummer, but you know what? Maybe it's not a bummer. I don't want the Knicks to win. So I feel stronger about that maybe. But yeah, those are kind of the important pieces of information we picked up over the last couple of days. Unless you're like me, you care about Devin Booker changing from number one to number 15, which actually does have some offseason implications because Mark Williams wore number 15 for Phoenix last year, and his future with the Suns is not a complete like afterthought. Like, this is a guy that they can bring back this summer. They actually tendered a qualifying offer to him, making him a restricted free agent, meaning that they will have the rights to match whatever contract he gets from another team. But yeah, interesting that Booker just went out and took his number. So I guess if Williams is back, we're going to hear what Booker had to pay him to get that number off his back. So that was the last bit of thing that I could really think of, but pretty slow so far to start the off season, but I know it'll pick up, and it'll pick up fast. Once the first like kind of shoe drops, everything's going to start pouring in. So we'll see what happens. I do think it's going to be Giannis. I wouldn't be surprised if it happens over the weekend, because the best thing the Bucks are going to get back at this point, it's draft picks. So they want to be able to have their own selection or their own say in what they're picking in Tuesday's draft. So they're going to be picking number 10. We're about to talk about that when we talk about the NBA draft, because I think it's starting to become a little bit obvious who they're going to pick. But I think they want more picks. And if they're going to be making a trade with the Heat, for example, they're going to want that 13 pick. So I think we're going to see some action over the weekend. If we don't, I think we're going to see some action on Monday. Either way, we're doing a show on Monday to talk a little bit more about this. While everyone is waiting for the season to start, the sharps are already getting to work. VSiN Pro gives you the advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights serious bettors rely on. And right now is the perfect time to get ahead before the season tips off. Try it for only $9.99 for your first month. Head to vsiN.com/subscribe and check out all of your options. Not only are we getting you prepared for the NBA for next season, we're also getting you prepared for the NFL. Our NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday. So it is a big time to be jumping in on the $9.99 offer or becoming, you know, a long-term VSiN subscriber. We have some great deals there over on the website. So would definitely suggest heading over and checking out what is available to you. But let's keep going and let's talk about the NBA draft. So we are going to be doing a lot of draft stuff over the next couple of days, including Tuesday. We're going to be doing a live draft special of Hardwood Handicappers on our VSiN programming. So I'm going to be going live for the first time in my career. I'm excited about that, but we will be on the YouTube TV Sports Plus package. We will be on the VSiN Watch app, wherever you normally watch our shows live, or if you are interested in joining and watching our shows live, you can head over to VSiN.com, find out all the ways to do that. But we will be doing something an hour before the 2026 NBA draft officially begins. I'll be breaking down some of the odds moves. I'll be talking to some, you know, analysts, former coaches, whatever, they can get lined up for me, but sounds pretty exciting what they were kind of cooking up in terms of guests. But we're going to get some really, really strong thoughts on some of these prospects, on some of the landing spots, on what it might mean for betting the 2026-27 season. So there's more draft content coming, but there is some stuff I wanted to talk about today, just because, like I said, we haven't talked in a few days, and I actually think one of these things is actionable. Let's start with that. Let's start with what's actionable. I just kind of hinted to it before. The Milwaukee Bucks seem like they have made a promise to Nate Amen, the Tennessee wing, that he will be selected no later than number 10 in the NBA draft. And the reason that's significant for betting on the draft is his over-under draft position is 10.5. So yesterday, once I heard this news, I went out and took the under on 10.5 at minus 105 for Amen to go 10 or earlier. And as of right now, that is still somewhat bettable. I saw it last night when I was putting together some of my notes for the show that it was minus 155. I would play that up to minus 200. Let me quickly see what we have for that draft position now. But I still think that this is a playable number. Yeah, minus 160 at DK. I saw minus 155. I believe it was at Caesars. There are options for you to take this at short of minus 200. And given what we kind of know and what all the draft analysts are saying, it does sound like the Bucks really, really want to take Ament at number 10 if he's there for them. They just had pretty much all of their important decision makers and important kind of figureheads go and watch a private workout of Ament. That includes John Hurst, the general manager or decision maker there, and Taylor Jenkins, the new head coach. And if you think about it, it does kind of make sense. I mean, I'm really not a fan of Ament. I saw a tweet last night that I thought was hilarious that said, Ament is the first boom or bust prospect that offers no boom potential, which means just a bust. I wouldn't go that far, but it is, you know, an interesting case study in like just kind of evaluating a prospect. He is kind of a theoretical 3-and-D guy. He's a good defender. He's big. He's long. He's 6'10". He's athletic. Defensively, I'd be really surprised if he's not at least a sturdy wing in the NBA. But the 3-point shot right now is more, like I said, like theoretical than it is practical. Like that jumper has not been proven to be a weapon yet. And I think that that is going to need to come if he's going to be anywhere worth being in the lottery. And he's also going to need to develop an in-between game and an off-the-dribble game if he wants to kind of live up to the promise and potential of just somebody with his size and athleticism, which I would imagine is why Milwaukee would be interested in him. Is if you look at a player like that, that moves that well at that size, you're hoping you're getting, I don't want to call everyone Kevin Durant. That's tall. It's just too lazy. And it's honestly, Durant's like top 10 player of all time. So it's just ridiculous to do it. But you're hoping you're getting somebody that's in that mold of like Ace Bailey last year. This is really, though, in my opinion, more like drafting Zachary Risacher, who has not really worked out for the Atlanta Hawks. So interested in just kind of seeing if there's more to him than just that. But the reason I think it makes sense for Milwaukee is if Giannis is gone, you're taking a flyer on a big wing that is going to have all the developmental opportunity in the world. Like it'll be Jenkins' number one project to just kind of expand Ament's game, give him minutes, give him the time to make mistakes, and allow him to become the best version of himself. That is pretty exciting, especially when you're talking about putting him next to a guy like Usman Dieng, who played really, really well last year when he got to Milwaukee, flashed a lot of stuff that we weren't able to see in OKC because the Thunder were contenders that didn't have minutes for him. But you're talking about a team potentially moving on from one of the best wings in basketball in Giannis, and then being able to kind of throw out Ament and Dieng and just say, all right, we have these two toolsy, you know, high potential players that we have all the minutes in the world to give them. Let's just see what they can become. I don't hate that idea. And then if Giannis is somehow still around, man, I really hope that's not the case after all this. It's just getting annoying at this point. But if Giannis is still around, you're adding Ament, a 3-and-D wing, you know, potentially with great size that you could play next to him and become a major, major problem for other teams defensively. Just talking about like the length of Ament and Giannis together, you know, maybe Miles Turner being back behind them. Defensively, you're probably talking about a pretty good team. So I understand like the potential fit for Ament as both somebody you want to develop long-term or as somebody that you potentially see as a fit next to Giannis. But yeah, it does sound like he's going to go 10 at the very worst. And there is interest in him a little bit earlier on. I mean, the Nets were reportedly very hot on Ament at number 6 for a while. I would not rule out any of the other teams ahead of them. Like I think that the Mavericks can use a player like him. The Hawks would not rule out a player like him, just being their emphasis on wings and shooting. And I think the Clippers would be a bit of a stretch at 5, but no one really knows what they're going to do. So I would say this is a really good play at minus 160. If you can get minus 155, or you can get better than that, sure, go for it. But this is something that I haven't added a lot to my portfolio for the draft over the last week or so. I did add this one, though. And then let's just wrap up talking about the Clippers, who I just mentioned, no one really knows what they're going to do. There was a report yesterday or last night that they are very interested all of a sudden in Brandon Burries, the Arizona guard. If you listened to me a couple of days ago and took Burries to go in the top 10. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We have Burries to go top 10 because we think he's going to Dallas. There are rumors that Rich Paul is trying to steer his client to Dallas, where, you know, he really wants him to play with Cooper Flagg. And I think that makes a lot of sense, but I do think Burries is attracting interest elsewhere. I mean, you hear it with the Clippers. So Los Angeles is in an interesting situation because they're kind of in between, like, whether or not they should be going for it right now, because they still have Kawhi on the roster. They still have Darius Garland on the roster. And then when you think about the future, Garland is young enough at 26 years old that you need to think about where he fits in long term. And he is a guy that is very, very good. You're not going to just think about, you know, moving on from him right away. So there's a lot of talk about what the Clippers are going to do at number five. And they really can go in a bunch of different directions. Like, Acuff will probably be the best player on the board at that point. But because of Garland being an on-ball player, being a smaller on-ball player, I think that they're worried about what the fit would look like between Acuff and Garland. That's why you're hearing some of the bigger guards like Keaton Wagler, like Braden Burries now. And I do just kind of wonder where it's going to go. But Braden Burries is now kind of the guy that people think is very much in play at number five. Mykel Brown Jr., by the way, another one of the bigger guards that is in play at that position. But the report that I saw said that Ty Lue was in the building for Burries' workout, and he was very impressed. And that wouldn't surprise me. Burries is bigger, a little bit older, can play on or off the ball, and defensively, he's the best of all of the guards I just mentioned. So wouldn't surprise me at all if Lue had his say and said, look, this is the guy that could help us the most next season and in the future. So just kind of wanted to get that out there. The Clippers are a major, major question mark heading into this draft. And if you do believe that the draft starts with DeBonsa, Peterson, Boozer, Wilson in that order, then the draft really starts at five. So what the Clippers do will shape the way the rest of the draft goes. And honestly, the Nets are just as much of a wild card at number six. I think the Kings are the first team after the top four that we know exactly what they want to do. They really, really want Darius Acuff Jr. And it sounds like Darius Acuff Jr. wants to go there, by the way. It seems like it is very similar to the Tyrese Halliburton situation where, you know, the prospect knows the opportunity lies in Sacramento, and Sacramento realizes the mistakes they've made in trading like every starting point guard in the NBA right now and getting them all out the door. Now they need a point guard themselves. They realize what Acuff can be for them. So that's the first kind of pick in the top 10 after the top four that we even know it is pretty much a certainty of what's going to happen. But it's not a certainty, honestly, what even happens in the top four. So it's going to be absolute insanity. But I will be tracking all of this stuff over the weekend because we will go again on Monday with this. If there are any new bets to be made for the draft, I'll hit them on the Monday show. But Tuesday for the draft special of Hardwood Handicappers, which really excited for, I got to be ready to go. So I'll be reading absolutely everything. You could see some of my work on the draft over at VSiN.com, by the way. I did do kind of a longer piece on my top 10 prospects, why they're my top 10 prospects, did some of my like bolder or more out there draft observations and draft takes, which because I just wanted them on record somewhere. So that's in there as well. And then all of the bets that I already have for the draft are listed there at the bottom. So head over to VSiN.com if you are interested. But before we get you out of here, I did want to quickly say, attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN, signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Well, that's it for me. A quick episode for today. Only one bet to give out. But honestly, we might not have a lot of bets on these shows over the summer. It's going to be a lot of big picture talk. So maybe we won't have that many when we do come on and talk. So maybe that actually is a good thing that we even had one. But I do really like Nate Ament to go in the top 10. So I would definitely consider adding that. And we will be back with more Hardwood Handicappers on Monday. And we're probably going to do some more shows next week. So can't make any promises, but make sure you're sticking with us throughout the offseason. I know there's no more games to talk about, at least until Summer League, which is actually right around the corner as well in like a month. But for now, we're going to talk offseason. If you have any questions for me, by the way, about the offseason, feel free to fire away at Betting on X on Twitter, in the YouTube comments, whatever you want to do. I'd be happy to answer some questions when these are, you know, a little bit of slower shows. But yeah, we're going to keep firing away with these. And I appreciate you listening. And if you did enjoy today's episode or have been enjoying the show in general, throw us a subscription on YouTube. It's free. It's easy. It takes a second. We're really trying to grow that Hardwood Handicappers YouTube page, all one word. And, you know, if that's not where you're listening, give us a like or a follow, whatever it is, on Spotify or Apple Music. We'd appreciate any of the feedback. But have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.